You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
This week means an awful lot to a few teams, and it all begins Thursday night with the Giants at Washington. Week two in the NFL is as important as ever. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Up in 10 minutes, more insight on the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay. But this week, 0-2 is a scary proposition for an awful lot of teams around the National Football League. And if you look at history, you look at recent history, over the last 15 years, teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs 11% of the time. Not a good math guy. That would mean 89%, according to my calculations, or one calculation. 89%. They don't make the playoffs. So that means that the loser of the Giants and Washington on Thursday night has an 89% chance of not making the playoffs. And that is a scary, scary proposition, not just for either of those teams, but quite a few others. Let's run through them. First of all, either of those teams in a bad division. You might think, hey, somebody with 6, 7, 8 wins is going to win the NFC East, because we've already seen early how bad it is, and it's very much like last year when Washington won it in that same type of situation. But the Giants were absolutely awful in week one defensively, had no answers whatsoever, and then offensively took the ball deep into the territory of the Broncos on 4 occasions inside the 25-yard line and came up empty. 4 times, 0 points. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And now these two teams are squaring off on Thursday night. The Giants will be without one of their best offensive linemen. And trust me when I tell you, that bar ain't set too high these days. Shane Lemieux is not going to play in that game. Neither is Evan Engram. And you're facing a defensive front of Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and Jonathan Allen. Good luck and Godspeed. This could be ugly. Giants looking at 0-2. Could the Bills actually be looking at 0-2 going to Miami? You can't rule it out, because the Miami Dolphins started with an impressive win on the road against the New England Patriots. Yeah, they had to sweat it out late, but they came up with the big play to force a fumble and put themselves in a good situation to win the game and put it away, because they had been so stout defensively all day. The Dolphins at home, 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Maybe the Bills go out a little bit. Who knows? A lot of times, South Beach will get you. I don't think that'll be the case in this spot. But for the Bills, very tricky proposition. Could the Browns be in some trouble? I mean, Houston is 1-0. The Texans look to me very similar, like the Carolina Panthers, the year that they went 1-15, and the only game they won was in week one against Minnesota. Now, Cleveland is coming out of what happened in Kansas City, and they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves, despite the fact that there was a chance to win that game. I wouldn't go as far as to say they should have won that game, but there was a chance to win that game, and they made some dumb mistakes, including the punter dropping the football. But Cleveland has to be coming home still feeling good about their chances to even up at 1-1. One thing, though, don't find yourself in a 14-9, 17-9 hole at halftime where all of a sudden you start to tense up just a little bit. Indianapolis and the Rams. It's a rough break for the Colts to get the Seahawks and the Rams to start the season, but the Colts are staring 0-2 right square in the eye. It's coming, and the Colts season is going to be over sooner rather than later. That was a loss that, frankly, I expected in week one, and I think they could get waxed this week by the L.A. Rams. Minnesota is on the road at Arizona, and considering what we saw out of both of these teams this past week, this is dangerous. Dangerous stuff for the Vikings. Anthony Barr still not at practice, according to ESPN Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin. And that's a concern for a Vikings defense that is going to have its hands full with an explosive offensive team. And the Vikings just blew a lead, or just blew an opportunity after coming from behind against the Cincinnati Bengals to win that game. Could be staring 0-2 in the face in the NFC North. Look out. Dallas at the Chargers. Cowboys just need to win. That's all there is to it. Can't find themselves at 0-2, even though they're going to be in a bad division. Yeah, granted, I would put their chances in that bad division much better than your usual 0-2 team, but let's not test any theories here. The Cowboys have to go out and win that game against the Chargers. Tennessee's in Seattle. Can you be in a worse position if you're the Titans? I mean, that's not where you want to be headed when you just absolutely got embarrassed the first week of the year by the Arizona Cardinals at home. That's a rough one. Tennessee is headed for 0-2. And then Baltimore is headed for 0-2 at home against Kansas City. This is absolutely brutal. Kansas City's a team that just came from behind the other day, and they're too good to make any mistakes against, and Baltimore has way, 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 way too many injuries right now. And they also have some ball security problems with the quarterback, who has got to be more careful when he's got Chris Jones coming around the end, even as opposed to up the middle. So all of these teams in some pretty good danger here in week two. You go 0-2, the deck is stacked against you. Calls, here's Michael in California up next on ESPN Radio. Michael, what's going on, bud?
How's it going? Just calling in about, you know, all the noise about Aaron Rodgers, and everybody's talking about him so much and how bad he's doing. But to be honest, you know, I really think the defense is what we need to be talking about. You know, Aaron, after this week, he's going to be doing what Aaron Rodgers does. But when you're talking about the Packers defense with all the starters letting them score on every single drive, except for two, and one of those drives being the last drive, I mean, I think we're more concerned about what's going on with the Packers defense than with what's going on with the Rodgers and Packers offense.
Oh, I think that's fair, because the Packers defense saw it absolutely run down their throats. And thanks for the call, Michael. But what I'm saying about Aaron Rodgers is that was a god-awful performance in week one against a team that, frankly, he should be able to score some points on. I mean, I'm not saying they're a terrible football team, but they're not a good one. I don't think the Saints are a terribly good team. If the Saints are going to be a factor this year, Jameis Winston's going to have to play at that level continuously, and I'm not there yet into buying in. Ron in Nevada up next on ESPN Radio. Ron, what's going on, dude? What do you got on Aaron Rodgers?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Listen, nobody has ever said this word, but the team has quit on Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers has quit on the team. He acted that way before the season. He's acting that way when he signed the contract for 1 year. He is not coming back. The team knows that. They're not playing for him. It's obvious if you watch the game, and Rodgers is returning the favor. I'm surprised nobody on the offensive line let some big 300-pounder take him out. And
well, they're not
going to
do that because that's not doing your job, and thanks for the call. But I understand where you're coming from. I'm not going to buy into that completely yet. However, it is a narrative worth watching. Because if this gets away from the Packers, just consider what that's all going to mean. Rodgers is going to continuously get asked more and more about his future. Again, if you don't want to, don't cause the drama in the first place. And then, if you're not winning games, it could end really, really in ugly fashion for the Packers and for Rodgers, for that matter. Speaking of which, right now, we go to the Goodyear Hotline, and we welcome in Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, who joins us right now. Rob, it's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Appreciate a few minutes. How you doing?
Good, Chris. How are things on the East Coast?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Rob, first of all, your takeaways from what was just an ugly, ugly opener from the Packers.
Wait, that was the that was a regular season game? I thought that was the preseason finale.
So did they.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah, really? Didn't they look like it?
Yeah.
I mean, look, they've had games in Matt LaFleur's tenure where they've lost big. In fact, you know, they don't lose very often. But coming into the season, like three of the six losses they've had in LaFleur's first two seasons were basically blowouts. So I'm not like certainly like ready to say, well, they're in huge trouble because this has happened before. The one thing that's troubling is this never happened in the opener, right? I mean, like you have all training camp, you know, to get ready for this, and this is what you put on the field. So I think that's a little troubling. I wasn't surprised that the defense struggled because, look, first of all, their defense has been mediocre at best and terrible at the norm for several years. But the offense just doing this, I mean, you know, this is the number one scoring offense in the NFL last season. This is the MVP quarterback. Look, I know he didn't play in the preseason. They didn't play many of their starters, but that has never mattered in the past. You know, the lockout year, they didn't have any offseason workouts. Everybody was criticizing Rodgers for, you know, being one of the few quarterbacks that didn't get his guys together and throw. And what they do, they come out and put almost 50 on the Saints in week one that year. So I guess the short answer long is I'm not sure what to make of it, Chris.
Rob, when we have the offseason that we did with Rodgers and the Packers, the natural question is going to be this. Was there any after effects of all the drama? I understand what they'll probably say, but just being as close to the situation as you are, how would you read it?
I would say it didn't, and here's the only reason that I say that is because Rodgers was so unbelievably sharp in training camp. Now, look, I know it's only practice, right? But, like, I've seen training camps. This, I think, was my 24th or 25th training camp, and I've seen quarterbacks and offenses scuffle and just not, you know, sort not get on to, I guess you call it, the same page or in sync right away. And that's not what this camp was. I mean, Rodgers was sharp from day one. You know, I just don't see how that, you know, was a physical problem. Now, was it a mental issue? You know, maybe, but I don't know. I guess I have a hard time making that connection just because of how Rodgers looked for basically 6 weeks when he got back here.
Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Rob, the natural question is going to come up. If this gets ugly, is Aaron Rodgers going to pack up here? And, you know, people understand what his personality is. He's not going to be a guy that's going to scream and yell after a loss. But there are times where that can rub you the wrong way, too, as
no doubt.
I would sense maybe some of the other day did with Packer fans.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, he put himself and he put the team in this situation, right? I mean, like, we can all agree on that. And that, you know, he has created, and, you know, it's not just him. The team has also created this situation by things that they have done or have not done. By that, I mean, you know, not extending his deal, not guaranteeing more money, things like that. So they both, in a sense, created this last dance scenario. Now, if it goes bad, I mean, if they're 4-6, you know, what happens? Remember in 2016, Chris, they were 4-6, and Rodgers said, well, I think we can run the table, and they did all the way to the NFC Championship game. Does that happen 5 years later? Does Rodgers have that kind of fight in him? You know, I think it's a question worth asking. He, as I've known him over his career, is just as competitive, if not more so, than anybody I've ever known, right up there with Brett Favre. I have a hard time seeing him do that, but you know, talk to me in 9 weeks and what happens if they are 4-6.
Rob, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max this morning, Jermichael Finley had some really, really critical words of Rodgers and of the Packers. First of all, was there a strain in that relationship that would kind of influence those comments?
Capital Y-E-S.
Jermichael okay, go
Finley,
after it. Fill me
is
in.
Persona, is persona non grata around here.
Okay. Why? What is that? Why would he go after Rodgers specifically in that instance?
Rodgers was super hard on him most of his career. You know, Jermichael had all kinds of talent, and I think there's the sense that he never quite lived up to it, maybe never took it seriously until it was too late. I think he did towards the end. And then if you remember, he had that just horrific neck injury and never played again. And he has been a guy, and Greg, you can throw Greg Jennings in there too, who have just constantly bashed Rodgers over and over and over again. And it's just those two guys. Like, it's not widespread. You talk to 25 teammates, present and past, and they'll rave about Rodgers' leadership. And you talk to those two guys, and it's another story. So I would – look, I liked JerMichael. I liked covering him. But he was the one of the guys, Chris, that you, as a reporter, you'd go to right away in the locker room because you knew he was going to say something that was outlandish and it was going to make for a good story. And to be honest with you, by the end of it, I stopped going to his locker because he became so, I guess, just over the top that you're like, well, yeah, he says it, but boy, if you print it, you know, you're probably just contributing to the misconception. So
yeah, all right. So we take it with a pound of salt.
You know, like, they have no relationship at this point. Greg Jennings has no relationship. Greg Jennings will be in the Packers Hall of Fame, but he won't be there until Aaron Rodgers is gone, because they just will never put those two guys together in the same room.
Rob Demosky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter. Rob, one more for you. Just considering how Aaron had absolutely no problem airing out his grievances in that news conference at the beginning of training camp. And the other day, there wasn't nearly as much, and I hesitate to use the word anger because we always expect
anger?
Our athletes
no,
to,
that's
to
the
be
word
like
that. That's the word that came to mind.
But he's not a demonstrative guy, but he had no problem expressing himself then. It just, am I wrong that it rubs me the wrong way that after you get embarrassed in week one, that same sort of, at least, communication was not there?
Yeah. If not anger, maybe cavalier nature about it, maybe, but I sense that. I agree with that. I was a little surprised, I guess, at his post-game reaction, but, he never, put it to you this way, he never says anything, Chris, without thinking it through. Now, what his reasoning for going in that way was, I don't know. He did not explain, but he didn't just walk in there and just decide that. Like, he knew what he was going to say. It wasn't one question that prompted him, and I'm sure he has his reasons for it. And when we get him tomorrow, I think that's question number one, is why did you take this, sort of laid back approach to a game that, was anything but, leaving someone to be laid back. Right.
Right. Rob, appreciate it. Great insight. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Chris.
Rob Demosky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, joining us via the Goodyear hotline, my friends. And it was an awful lot to unpack there. Goodyear, making plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. I listened to Rob speak. He's been around the team as long as he has. He knows exactly what the dynamics are that are in place. And the JerMichael Finley part of it, I get that completely. So I do, and even when I first saw the comments, I kind of took them with a grain of salt. But at the same time, that Rodgers reaction bears watching. Because when you mentally say that you're in at 110% when you show up, and there's little to no, I don't even want to use the word remorse, but regret for what happened in week one, and it's immediately to the, well, it's just one game. Dude, it's 1 week of the year. It's week one of the year. We're setting a tone here, and that's what you're looking at. Lucky for them, they get the Lions next. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Who doesn't love NFL prop bets? I know you do, and we've got them for you in just moments. Now, did you know, according to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all of these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Get out your pens, get out your wallets. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
from the NFL.
I can't put the Colts in the Super Bowl in the same sentence until I see who Carson Wentz is.
To college.
It'll be interesting to see what Oregon brings. I know their secondary.
Football lives here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, every weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus, don't forget to say play ESPN Radio on your smart speaker as well. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Is Aaron Rodgers packing it in already on the Packers? That is out there. Plus, the concern over your team headed for 0-2, whether it's Washington potentially on Thursday night or the Giants for that matter. Some of these other teams in some big, big danger. 0-2 teams over the last 15 years make the playoffs 11% of the time. Just 12 times in 107 teams that started the year 0-2. But now we turn to gambling because I'm about money and I'm about making you money and I'm about making me money more importantly. We have season props for the NFL and we check in with Raj Grobes. Raj.
That's right, Chris. And I want to start you off with a question. Chris, did you know, as you like to say, Patrick Mahomes is 11-0 in 11 September starts during his career? Were you aware of that?
I was not aware of that. I was
not. Well, guess who is? Vegas is aware of that, and you can go and bet that because one of the season props are, will Patrick Mahomes lose a game in September? Yes is minus 120, and no is minus 120. Which way are you leaning?
Oh, wow. No is only minus 120? Ooh. Mm-hmm. See what
we
this is?
This week.
I don't know what I smell. Opportunity. Oh. Bet $120 to win 100 that Patrick Mahomes won't lose in September. My people, they go to Baltimore this week. They are very banged up, as we know, for a little Sunday night football. And then they are home for the Chargers next Sunday, the 26th.
Yes, sir.
That smells like 3-0. I think I'm jumping on board. Minus 120 for no. Vamanos, muchachos. We rock.
All right, all right. Hey, I got another question for you, Chris. You know Trevor Lawrence, the rookie, number one pick. He threw 3 picks in week one. Now, this puts him on pace to throw 51 interceptions in 17 games. Mm. Now, of course, Peyton Manning's record is 28 interceptions. And let's see. Odds implied is a 9.1% chance this record is broken. So, you can make the bet, the wager. Will Trevor Lawrence break Peyton Manning's rookie interception record? Yes, it's plus 1,000. No, minus 4,000. Where are you putting your money, Chris?
See, here's what's intriguing about this. Mm-hmm. The 3 in week one, that makes me think about it. 28? I don't think
he will.
They're
going to be behind a lot. You know they're going to be behind a lot. They're going to have to throw.
I know. They are going to be behind a lot. They are a bad team, but he's too good to not get it early. So, I mean, it's minus 4,000 for a no. I wouldn't take the bet myself. But just because he already threw 3 in week one at plus 1,000, 10-1 odds, bingo. I'll jump on that. I'll put a couple of bucks on that. Why not?
All right.
I always like to root for people to do poorly. That's part of me.
That's true. And we talk about this a lot on this show. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. Who's going to start? Which one to start? So you can put the wager. Which player will start a game first? Justin Fields is minus 300 and Trey Lance is plus 200. How are you laying your money?
Yeah, that's Justin Fields. That's an easy one. I don't think Trey Lance isn't starting anytime soon. I don't believe that. Because they have too good of a situation in front of them. They don't have Andy Dalton in front of him. Justin Fields is 100% starting before Trey Lance does. Minus 300, you lay off there. I mean, if I had to bet, that's where I would go. But that's only if I had to.
Okay. All right. Well, here's one that you know you'll you don't have to bet, but this always happens. It's always a hot seat in the NFL.
Yes.
So, the first head coach to get fired.
Ooh.
I'll just lay them in order. You can lay the numbers if you want, but I'll just put them in order. All right. Urban Meyer. We just talked about Jacksonville already. One game in and you're on the hot seat. Urban Meyer.
How about Urban Meyer, 7-2. Is that right?
Yep. 7-2.
Okay. Then we got Matt Nagy, 4-1.
Been on the hot seat for a minute. Mike Zimmer, Joe Judge, and Vic Fangio. I don't know how the hell Mike McCarthy isn't on this list. I got to read. I got to look this over. But anyway,
because you didn't make the list, that's why it's not on.
Yeah. That's right.
I first of all, can we just get it through our thick heads that Urban Meyer's not getting fired this year, and Urban Meyer is not going to USC. He's going to stay in the NFL. It is a completely different mountain for him to climb. And those are his words, not mine. He also, I fully believe, based on this, that one little conversation with Mike McCarthy in Hard Knocks, that he is loving the fact that he is not worried about recruiting and on a jet every other day trying to go all over the place and make sure that 120 guys are all doing the right things at all the right times. He's not going back to college anytime soon. Matt Nagy at 4-1, there's your winner. That's what you jump on. Either Matt Nagy or Mike Zimmer, I think. I don't expect Mike Zimmer to get fired this year. He will have the season. Joe Judge will have the season. Joe Judge at 9-1 is throwing away your money. That's absolutely throwing away your money. And while Vic Fangio at 12-1 presents an interesting value, I still I would probably lay off. So I am rolling 4-1. Matt Nagy, again, rooting for people to fail is my specialty in gambling.
Well done. Well done, Chris.
Thank you. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. I hope you wrote those down. Only if you're interested in making money. Coming up, we've got some final thoughts. Your chance to get through at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, we discussed going 0-2, but how much more does 2-0 improve your odds of making the playoffs? It's quite a bit. You'll find out. Next, as the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready for kickoff with TuneIn, the app that lets you listen to live games, in-depth analysis, and tailored content for your team all season long. Plus, ESPN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to comprehensive football coverage from NFL Live, fantasy-focused football, and more, all to fuel your football fandom. Download the TuneIn app today to start listening everywhere you go. Is it a dawn of a new day in Cincinnati? We may find out this weekend, next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is ESPN Radio.
Cincinnati Bengals are for real? We can find out this weekend. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776, your chance to get in before the end of the show on Aaron Rodgers packing it in already this early in the year. It maybe feels energy-wise like that's not really there for Aaron right now, because we've heard about how he felt like the team was a little bit flat last week. You listen to his post-game comments, Aaron Rodgers looked like he was a little bit flat. My friends, there are some golden opportunities for teams to begin the season 2-0. As much as we speak of the doom and gloom of starting 0-2 and what that means with making the playoffs, in that same stretch of time since 2007, teams that have gone 2-0, There have been 120 of them. 72 of them have made the playoffs. 60%, exactly. 60% of teams that have started the season 2-0 have made the playoffs. You sign for that any day of the week, especially if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. After what was a tremendous win this past week, they blew a big lead. They still showed enough in terms of their grittiness going to overtime to make sure that they won the game against the Minnesota Vikings. And now they get to go to Chicago and face the Bears. This is an opportunity for Cincinnati to show that they might mean business this year. And look, they're a team that is not capable of winning 12 or 13 games, but they're capable of winning 9 or 10. And if you start 2-0, you're a long way toward it. Joe Burrow against the Bears in Chicago, I wouldn't bet against it, my friends. I was very unimpressed with what I saw from the Bears in week one. My guess would be that if you don't see him after halftime, you will see Justin Fields next week for the Bears. I think they lose at home to Cincinnati, who would go to 2-0. Is it even remotely possible that the Houston Texans could go 2-0? I've told you, I'm not buying into it. They're going to Cleveland, and this could be a game where Cleveland just absolutely takes out their frustrations after a disappointing week one loss, especially knowing how much better of a team they are. They could put up a 40 spot here against the Texans. Don't be shocked if it happens. Miami, home for Buffalo. This is the spot with the most meaning for a team with the potential to go 2-0. Why? Because think about it. They will have already beaten the Patriots and the Bills, and they will already be halfway to having the tiebreaker with both and a 2-0 start in what will be a pretty competitive AFC East. I love the Dolphins in this situation. I really do. I think the Bills are a much better team, but the Dolphins' opportunity here, don't be shocked. The Bills would be an 0-2 team that would absolutely buck the trend. The Dolphins could be a 2-0 team that shows that they have taken the steps and they are getting better and they are ready to be a good football team. Is Philadelphia ready to be a good football team? They pounded on a bad one last week on the road because Jalen Hurts was absolutely fantastic. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, says this could have gone a long way for Hurts.
Jalen Hurts this year is on a mission to convince the Philadelphia Eagles that they don't need to go make a big trade for someone like Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or someone like that next offseason. This is his audition, and coming right out of the gate, he hit a big one. I mean, this was a guy saying, look, don't overlook me. I can be your answer at quarterback. Long way to go in the season, but great start for Jalen Hurts.
And it was outstanding, but you're home for San Francisco. This is not going to be easy. This will be a field goal game. If Philly gets to 2-0 in the NFC East, that's a massive advantage. Oh, my Lord, that's a massive advantage. I don't think they will. New Orleans at Carolina, the Saints trying to prove that they belong, and this would go a long way toward proving it. They should be a team that is capable of going and beating Carolina, even though I don't feel like the Saints are a great team by any stretch. I don't think Carolina is either. I think you saw in week one against the Jets that there were plenty of times that they struggled, and in the second half of that game, their offense stalled. So for the Saints to go to 2-0, you'll need some more out of Jameis Winston in terms of the production with yardage. Remember, it may have been 5 touchdowns this past week, but it also was just 148 yards passing. The Saints absolutely ran the ball down the throats of the Packers. They will not do the same thing to Carolina. And finally, the Arizona Cardinals. They could go to 2-0. Oh, what a statement that would be. Think about setting up four teams in the NFC West potentially going to the playoffs later with that added wild card. Don't rule it out if the Cardinals get to 2-0 against the Vikings this week. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.